This podcast brought to you by Amy Oliver Photographer. My mum.
Hey there. Welcome to Mumatography, the beginner photography podcast just for mums. I'm Amy Oliver and I'm a mama of two cheeky girls. And I've also been a family photographer for the last 10 years. I'm on a mission to help you take better photos of your kids without the confusing technical jargon.
Mums don't have time for that.
I'll be sitting down with mamas like yourselves, professional family photographers and camera savvy Insta mums. We'll chat about taking photos of your kids, tips and tricks, and how the heck did she make that photo? As well as other stuff that mums talk about, you know, not sleeping, poo, play dates, the mummy juggle. I know you hear me. So grab a cuppa, put your earbuds in and get comfy. This is beginner photography and so much more just for you. Hey guys, I just want to welcome you to episode number 2 of the Mumatography podcast. I am so excited that you guys are here and that you're listening, and just that this is a new area of photography education that I am jumping headfirst into. As I've said and you've heard, I have been a family photographer for over 10 years, and it's finally time to pass on what I know to other mums wanting to learn photography. I have always loved teaching and helping share what I know with others, and I'm just stoked that this platform is finally going to give me a place where I can do that and just help as many mums on their photography journey as possible. So today's episode is with my gorgeous, lovely, amazing, talented friend, Danielle Dobson. I have asked her on the podcast today because not only is she all those things, but she is a down-to-earth mum photographer and her work is simply stunning. A few years ago when I was scrolling Instagram, I came across her work and I just thought, oh jeepers, I need to up my game. This lady knows her stuff and she knows how to get those winning images, and I was feeling just that little bit inferior. So obviously, I had to have her on the podcast, but as I said, like, she's amazing. Her ability to capture connection between her subjects in just the most effortless way, along with her beautiful, warm summer vibe tones, would just leave anybody wanting to be photographed by her, if I'm being honest. So let's dive in and hear how she got started in photography and how she gets the images that she does. And I really hope this interview will give you some great pointers that you can take away and use with your own kids, and as you're photographing them and as you learn photography. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for being on the Mumatography podcast in some of our very early episodes.
Thank you for having me. It's very exciting.
Well, I thought it would be good just to like kick off by getting you to tell us a bit about yourself. So where are you from? What do? Who do you, what's your business about? Who are your kids, your pets, your aunts, your uncles? No, maybe just your kids, but tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm from Melbourne. I am a family photographer, and I am married and I have two kids who are in primary school at the moment. I've got two dogs. We just got a little puppy, lockdown puppy. I guess they're going to be like named lockdown puppies now.
So he's very, very, very cute, by the way. Please go and look at Danielle's Instagram. So Danielle, how long have you been doing family photography for?
I've been in business for about 3 years now. It was June 3 years ago. So I just celebrated my third birthday, which is very exciting.
Amazing, amazing. Do you have a cake or something, or just a little wine?
I didn't have cake, actually. I ordered Uber Eats for lunch or something.
Yeah, that's enough. That's all you need. You need to celebrate the little things. Tell us, like, how did you get started in photography? Firstly, photography, and then we'll get into when you started your business. So, how did you get into photography in the first place? And how long, like, was this a new thing or was it something you've previously, like, done in high school or something like that?
Yeah, so I did start in high school, and then I even started photography at uni afterwards as well. But I dropped out and decided to travel the world instead.
Amazing.
And then I basically met my husband, and he works in film and TV, so he's a bit of a like camera guy anyway. So I just stopped using my camera, you know. So yeah. I didn't do anything until I had my kids, and they, you know, were what inspired me to pick up Matt's camera again. So that's how it all kind of started then. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. So just to clarify again, how old is your oldest?
Cruz, he is 8. He's almost 9. Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. Yeah. So you pretty much picked up the camera like 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah,
when he was born.
So.
And
yeah.
started tinkering again.
Yes, it was a play. Every now and then I would feel inspired to take some photos. I had forgotten so much of what I learned back in high school and at uni, but I think it was probably on auto a lot of the time.
That's okay.
But whatever works. Yeah,
exactly.
I got photos from it. So
I just wanted to start by saying that Danielle is a very, as I said in the intro, is a very gifted photographer. And in fact, I fell in love with her work and also booked her to shoot my family photos, which we're yet to do.
We still need to do that, don't we?
Yeah, terrible weather and then COVID lockdown have kind of prevented us, but we will get there.
Yeah, we will.
But you have a beautiful way of photographing, I guess I just want to know a little bit more about your business and how you started. Like, what made you actually start a business? Because there's one thing to go from like tinkering with your camera and photographing your kids and getting some nice shots to actually going, you know what, I want to like start a business. Like, how did you get from there to there?
It's a big step, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It was basically just financial. So I needed to make money. And I used to be a travel agent and I loved it. It just got a little bit too hard for me to continue that with the kids, at home. So I decided to resign from that job with the kind of hope and dream of starting some kind of at home small business that I can work around mummying, my two kids. Mm-hmm. When they were really little. And I tried a few things here and there, and then eventually I actually entered a competition.
Tell us.
It's always embarrassing when I bring up this story.
Sorry, I want to hear it.
Tell us how it all started. So I was kind of obsessed with a little girl's clothing label called Lacey Lane, and they used to have a photo a day challenge on and off, you know, for a month. And I decided I can totally do this. And so I started taking photos of Millie, my daughter. She would have been 2 or 3 at the time, in Lacey Lane. And I did it for a month. And by the end of the competition, I was using my husband's camera. I was editing in Lightroom and I just loved it. And took me a while to realize how much I actually enjoyed it. You know, I was just doing it for the competition and to win some clothes. And then I remember posting the photos, kind of my favorite photos from that month, up on my personal Facebook page, and all the feedback I got from friends and family was just so encouraging and so lovely, that it really got me wondering, oh, maybe I can actually do this and make some money from this. So that's honestly how it started. It was a need for a job, an income, and then just being encouraged and inspired by my family. So yeah.
That is so cool. That's such a cool story. So when you decided, okay, I need to make money, I need to, I want to like take this to the next level. So what were some of your biggest challenges that you were facing as you were trying to work out photography?
I found it really hard to work out what I wanted to photograph, thinking like even fashion, like kids' fashion photography, like families, newborns. I knew I didn't really want to do weddings, but I think I was willing to do that if I had to. But it just took a while to figure that out, and I couldn't really rush that at all. And then, of course, there was the technical side of actually learning, like relearning a camera. When I'd learned everything at high school and uni, it was all film back in those days. So I basically had to learn digital camera, which was, it's overwhelming when you first look at it. So learning that as well was a huge challenge for me.
were you kind of like asking your husband for tips and that kind of things, or are you looking online at tutorials, or like how did you work this out?
I think my husband wanted to help me, but I'm not very good at listening to him. Like, we don't work well.
I'm sure lots of listeners can relate to that.
Yes, he tried, but I just, no. So, yes, online tutorials. And then I also did like a weekend course. It was like in the city somewhere in Fitzroy at the, I can't even remember what it was called now, Center of Contemporary Photography, that's right. And I just did 2 days there, and it was lovely and amazing, and I learnt, you know, all the, you know, all the exposure and light and this and that, and the rule of thirds and all that kind of stuff, plus the technical stuff with my actual camera. So that was amazing, yeah.
Could you just tell me, because lots of people when they're starting out in photography, they do look at doing like, you know, online TAFE courses or online learning or that kind of thing. When you went and did a course for 2 days, was the information making sense when you were doing the course, or did it kind of make sense over time as you were picking up your camera and like actually taking photos?
Yeah, I remember during the weekend lots of aha moments and just remembering what I, like, yes, the camera had changed a lot since the film days, but the, you know, the basics and the principles, they were all the same. So it was just rejigging that memory and, understanding all of that. Again, remembering it all again, and actually to do that with my camera at the time was just, it was great.
Yeah. And what camera did you start on? Like, because I know that, Danielle, you're a Fuji shooter now, but were you when you started?
Yes, I was. So my husband just happened to have the X-T1 at the time. Oh. So it was a bit slower and a little bit clunky compared to the one that I've got now, which is the X-T3. But it reminded me, I loved it because it has all the dials on top. So it reminded me a lot of the cameras that I used at school when I was much younger. So it was kind of an easy, in a way, transition. Yeah.
Exactly. And for people who are listening, so I don't have a Fuji. I'm not that familiar. So tell me if I'm wrong, Danielle. But as you've said, like, Fujis, they do have this like old school charm to them that, like you said, they have dials on top and it's very kind of simple and, just old school compared to like the Canon.
Yes, or
the Nikon.
It's pretty vintage. I often rock up to a photo shoot and like the family kind of look at me like, that's like, how old is your camera?
How much are you paying and what are you shooting on?
Exactly. But it is very professional. It does everything that you need it to do, and I love it. And it's little and light and quite simple to use, and it looks good. So
amazing. And so for people, so you've got, what number did you say? You've got the
X-T3.
X-T3. So is this the latest Fuji or is there one?
No, there's a new one, number 4, and I don't have that one yet. So we'll see, maybe one day.
You're getting what you want on what you have right now.
Yeah,
so.
Very happy with it,
When it comes to photographing your own kids, Danielle, do you find it easy or do you find it hard? Compared to photographing clients.
I think because so my kids are 6 and 8 now, and they know what I want, and they know I love taking photos, and I think it's something that they've just grown up enjoying as well most of the time. So at the moment they've been actually really good and been quite willing to do something, knowing that mummy really loves it and that it's something that I enjoy, so they get to be a part of that as well. So a lot of the time they are quite happy to be a part of it. I only do little stints with them. Like, it's only, you know, if I'm out taking photos, it's like I'll have the camera out for 10, 15 minutes, you know, like it's not long, and that, I think that helps as well.
I'll just stop you. Like, I just think that is such a good point to bring up, because I feel like, I don't know, some people who are new to photography think that like they need to go and spend an hour outside, like photographing the whole backyard and trying to, and then you end up in tears because your kids get so over it and, you know.
Yes, it's frustrating.
But like you said, doing it in small bursts is like how to keep the peace and how not to go crazy and just to keep the peace within the family, not burn the kids out. And
Totally. Yeah.
Have you had to do any bribing of your kids at all? Like, oh, you have. Okay.
Saying all that, I do bribe them as well.
Excellent. All the mums want to hear that right now.
I think last time we went out, I was bribing them with their own Easter eggs.
Like, that's gold. That's great money.
When we get home. So bribery, it helps. Like, every now and then, even though they're willing to cooperate and they're going into it with every intention of doing this because mummy wants to, and it can be fun as well, you still have moments where they're uncomfortable or they're not enjoying something or it gets a little bit too cold. And it, like, with kids, it does not take much for them to stop enjoying themselves, which I'm sure we all know. So just a little reminder, you know, there's a chocolate Easter egg waiting for you at home.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. And like you said, when kids are cold as well, like on top of all the other factors,
meltdown. Like prickly grass or someone, I don't know, took their flower off them. You know what kids are like. It doesn't take much at all.
Has there been a time where you've either wanted to set, like, you know, take your kids out somewhere and take some photos and it's failed miserably, or has there been a time where it's actually worked and you were like surprised or just stoked that it did work?
I wouldn't say nothing recent anyway. Has failed miserably. Maybe I've just blocked, you know, some experiences from that.
Absolutely.
It's usually just letting go of what your own expectations are and just letting the kids enjoy themselves. Like every now and then I'll just have to get, like, let one of them take photos of the other kid and just to kind of just change the atmosphere a little bit and take the pressure off them. But yes, it's very much myself learning to let go of what I wanted to achieve and just sit back and let them have fun.
Now we're going to jump into a new segment that we'll be doing most weeks, and it's called How She Made It, which is basically where my guest chooses an image that they've created and we talk about how she made it on the podcast. So what she was thinking, how she was feeling, what inspired her, how she edited the image, were her kids even cooperating, and whatever else she wants to talk about. Now, you might think that this seems a little bit crazy given that this is an audio medium and not a visual one, but it still works. I would encourage you just to pause this episode right now, and if you're listening on your iPhone, just jump into the podcast app and click on this particular episode's notes, and you'll see links there to get to Danielle's page with the photo on it. Alternatively, you can just go to the website, which is www.mamatography, which is mamatography.co/2, and this will bring you to Danielle's page also. So I'd encourage you to do that now if you haven't done it, so you can follow along, have the photo in your head as we're talking. And I really hope that this segment will inspire you in your own photo taking journey and also help you understand the thinking process behind how an image is made. Danielle, this beautiful image that you've taken is, like I said, it's gorgeous. Can you just paint the picture? Tell us a little bit about this photo. We'll talk about what went into creating it.
Yeah, so this was literally, I knew of this patch of wildflowers up in the Dandenongs. And I had just previously done a client session at this location, and it was just beautiful, and I thought, I need to take my kids here. It was just jump in the car. I worded the map. They knew what we were going to do. We were going to have a play in the flowers, and just I didn't really have too many expectations or things that I wanted to achieve myself. I just wanted to have a play with the kids and get some nice photos of them. This particular photo, I do remember trying to kind of attempt something else. I can't even remember now at the time. This is a few months ago that I took this photo, but trying to get them to do something. I were lined together and I don't know what I wanted, but they weren't really having it at all. So I just remember I just kept snapping and And they just kind of fell into this, you know, you can see Cruz, he's got his arms up on his head, and that's such, like, he does that. He plays with his hair and kind of just flops into spots, you know. And he's very photogenic as well. So he's kind of got his blue steel almost.
He does. And just to paint the picture a bit more, it's like it's both Millie and Cruz. They're lying down on a blanket in the wildflowers. Danielle's standing over the top of them. They've got beautiful patches of, like, it's dappled light, but it's not too dappled.
The sun was quite low, so it was soft dappled light.
Taking away from the photo at all, but giving, just creating enough interest that it's not completely like flat light, so it's not boring in a way. Like having just that little bit of dappled light creates that little bit more interest and contrast and tone to the image. They're just on a simple neutral blanket, and but what's really cool about this image is that it's kind of in a like in a bit of a triangle, the way that Danielle's framed it, which is really cool. Was that on purpose, or is that it just happened?
A lot of things I think I do subconsciously now. I do know that triangles are they're kind of how do I explain, like, it's pleasing, it's like pleasing to the eye. I don't know why. Make up a rhyme about
triangles.
Triangles are pleasing. So it's just something that naturally, and threes as well. So so it was, I often do things and look back and go, oh, look at that. I did that. Triangles are lovely. So, and just have them surrounded by the flowers as well. Yeah.
Exactly. And did you put much thought into what they were going to wear for your little outing?
Yes, I always pick pretty neutral outfits for them both. Nothing that's going to kind of distract too much from their faces and the, you know, the what I'm shooting. And of course, no big prints and things. I'm always going for subtle, like muted, natural tones.
Yeah. Beautiful. And in terms of editing the image, did you do anything different that you wouldn't usually do, or was this just like kind of just your kind of way in your
style? This is my normal way, my normal edit. I did bring the greens up. I think normally I desaturate the greens a little, but I brought the greens out for this series. And then I did also, one thing with flowers is when you're shooting across flowers, you see a lot, like it's full of flowers, but when you're shooting down you don't get many at all.
I know this patch where you're photographing and it does, if you just look, it's covered in flowers, but the beautiful moment you go and lying in them, you're like, where did all the flowers go?
So I did add a few flowers in and just mix it up a little bit, just because it needed to be full of flowers. So
So Danielle, when you were creating this image, like, did you have an idea about what you wanted when you were trying to create this, or were you just kind of like waiting for a moment? Like, how did you get them to fall in this pose?
I basically popped them down on the blanket, and like I said before, I wanted something, and I can't remember what it was, but I remember feeling kind of frustrated and they were getting frustrated, like their legs were probably hanging off the blanket and they were probably getting prickled rather soft grass or something. And eventually I just had to let them just get comfortable and do whatever they wanted to do. And oftentimes, like, they're the times that you kind of just want to give up. You're like, fine, get up and go and play, you know, do what you want. But I just kept my camera in my hand and took a couple more photos, and these were like the last ones, and they were beautiful. So and just the way Millie's just resting her head on Cruz's arm and her other hand is just flopped into the grass, like I can't create something like that. That's just them. Even when you're getting frustrated and you feel like you're not getting what you want, just keep your camera on you and keep shooting.
And also, I've noticed that, you know, we talked about these guys are on a rug. Is this a purposeful neutral rug? Like,
yes,
what makes you bring it?
I basically, it's one of the rugs that I use. I've got a couple that I take to client sessions. I bought this for our own photo shoot that we had a couple of years ago now, because it's super neutral. So anything neutral, it doesn't matter what you're wearing, it's going to work. So, or like if you're at the beach, it will look fine. And obviously, obviously in the grass and the flowers. Yep. It looks beautiful as well.
One thing that I really love about having a blanket photographing my own kids or at client sessions is just that sometimes when you're photographing in grass, like the green can throw off like a green kind of glow cast onto people's faces and the reflections. And it can actually be quite hard to photograph people sitting or lying on green grass. So yeah. I love that like a blanket can really help get rid of some of that green shadow and cast that you get on the skin tones.
Yeah,
I love it. I love having a blanket all the time. I think anyone photographing their kids, even in their backyard, should just pull out the most neutral blanket that they have. Yeah. And if they're shooting down on them like this image, or even if they're sitting up, if you've got a kid who's like sitting on grass, in front of a tree or whatever, like yours, if you don't have something underneath them that's a bit neutral, you're going to get like a green reflection on their face.
Yeah, so, it also reflects light as well. So if their face is a bit too dark, it's going to reflect some nice light on there too. So help light up this object as well.
Exactly. So Danielle, one thing that I know that you love is creating a beautiful connection in your images. And I think sometimes when mums are first beginning to take photos of their kids, creating like authentic connection can be a real struggle because obviously they're kind of like trying to balance getting their camera settings right and they're trying to like actually get their kids in the right position and that kind of thing. But like if you had any tips for trying to create an environment for capturing authentic connection, like what would that be?
What I do a lot is just have a couple of prompts in mind. So I would basically put my kids wherever it is that I want them. So I, look at the light and then pop them wherever the best light is usually. Mm-hmm. and then I would just either get them to whisper something in the other one's ear or tickle each other or snuggle. Like if they're into that, obviously it depends on what your kid, your kids, so you know what's going to work with them. And so just trying different things like that. I always am looking at hands as well, where are their hands? Can they put their hand on the other person at all? Because I think hands are really important. Yeah, I think hands are just really important. Like if you've got your hands in a fist or if it's in your pockets or something, then that just really detracts from any kind of connection with the other person in the photo. So putting your hands on other people, so always keeping an eye on that. But there's lots of fun things that you can do with your kids. You can get one of them to do, now my kids are older, I can't even remember what it is. Run around the garden like a teddy bear on their hands, things like that, or just tickle each other on their backs or things like that. So, and often, like I said before, just let them, like you start with one or two prompts and then just let the kids do whatever it is that comes naturally after that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sometimes you get them to do that prompt. So whether it's like, round the garden, like the teddy bear on the hand, and you're taking that and it's good. But then as soon as like you wait a couple more seconds and they do that funny thing or they like, I don't know, that's when the moment is. That's when it kind of like.
Exactly. It's always the moment after what you've asked of them that exactly. that's where the beauty is, I think. Yeah, it's magic.
Exactly. I liked, I think when Danielle and I were chatting before, you mentioned about it all kind of just coming undone, this concept of coming undone. Like, can you explain a little bit more?
Yeah, it's exactly that, and it's what I do in my client sessions as well. So you kind of set everyone up and then you give a prompt or two, you'll tell the dad what to do or whatever, and then you wait for it to fall apart. And with young kids, it usually doesn't take long. And even if they're older, they might feel a little bit awkward doing something, and then there's the laugh, the awkward laugh, which it's like that's where it all kind of falls apart. Everyone has a laugh or someone snuggles into the other person because they're laughing, and that's where the magic happens.
And I think when we're first starting and we're like, we sometimes, when we're at the beginning of our journey, and like I said, we're trying to get the kids to do what we want. We think the magic's going to be when we tell them what we want.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's not, happens. It's that the falling apart and that coming undone of the situation is where you get those
It takes natural. A while to learn that as well. Like I remember taking a while to get into the habit of continually shooting. Like don't stop shooting just because they've stopped doing what you asked them to do. You keep the camera, keep looking through your viewfinder and wait for that laugh, you know, or whatever it is, that shy smile, you know.
I forgot to ask you, Danielle, at the start, what kind of lens do you shoot with? Because this is a big question for lots of people.
Yes, so I use the 23mm, it's a 1.4 Fuji, I think it's a Fuji X something, I don't know, but it's a 23mm, so it's the equivalent, if you're full frame, it's an equivalent to a 35, so awesome. Nice wide lens. Exactly. So I have to get
and,
up nice and close.
Exactly. And for people who maybe don't know what we're talking about, so Danielle's Fuji cameras, she shoots on a cropped frame sensor, so it's not the full frame. So when you actually put a lens on your camera, it kind of zooms the lens in a little bit more.
Yeah.
So
with Fuji,
Because lots of family photographers, obviously we shoot a lot of us on 35mm lenses, but for Danielle, because she's on a Fuji, she needs to go and get the 23mm lens to actually make a 35mm photo.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go. Lastly, Danielle, what is some software when it comes to photography that you couldn't live without?
Lightroom, that's basically where I spend all my time editing. I don't really use Photoshop at all, but yeah, Lightroom's where I do it all.
Now, because this episode is one of firsts, I want to explain another exciting thing or resource that Mamatography will be delivering on a regular basis to you, our listeners, and that is free photo recipes. Now, what is a photo recipe, I hear you ask? Well, it's basically a set of instructions, much like how a cooking recipe reads, that takes you through a series of simple steps to set up a beautiful or creative or fun scene at your home with your kids so that you can practice your photography skills while your kids are engaged and entertained. So these recipes are designed to inspire creativity in you and spare the tears from everyone, including you. I really hope that these recipes are a gift to you guys and that they help take some of the stress away from involving your kids in your photo taking journey. Every shoot I go on, no joke, I think one parent always turns to me and says, "What do they say? Don't work with children and animals." And they are exactly right. It is hard work. And you know what? It's even harder when it's your own kids. So I really hope that these help you out. Look out for them with each new podcast episode. So this week, Danielle has come up with a photo recipe for us. And this photo recipe is all about finding a magical spot, encouraging your kids to collect little treasures and basically snap them while they're doing it. So if you'd like to get your hands on Danielle's photo recipe, then I'd encourage you to click on over to the show notes again and click the massive text that says download photo recipe. And you can get to that page by going to www.mamatography, which is mamatography.co/2, or just go to the link in the podcast episode notes in the app on your phone, if you're listening on your phone, and follow the links. And that will take you to Danielle's show note page on the website. So don't miss out. This is going to be a good one. And Danielle, can you just tell us, where can people find you? Where do you like to hang out? Are you Facebook? Are you Instagram? Like where, if people want to connect with you, what's the best place?
Definitely Instagram. I do not utilize Facebook anywhere near as much as I probably should. But yes, find me on Instagram.
What's your handle?
Danielle Dobson _photographer. That's it.
So if anyone would like to say hello to Danielle or just check out her work, book a session with her, anything like that, then I'd encourage you to go into the show notes or go into her Instagram or whatever you want to do and go and say hello. I've loved having you on, Danielle. Thank you so much for being so open about how you got started and how you do things and how you get the images that you get. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely. You're most welcome.
Thanks for listening, guys. And can I just ask you one thing? If you enjoyed today's episode, could you do me a massive favor? Can you just jump on over to iTunes and leave us a review? They really help, especially in the beginning stages of getting a podcast out there into podcast world. So if you had a minute, I would love it. Thanks so much, and we'll see you again next week.